Page 114. Honest Gladys. This story by Motobi Motloatsi was inspired by an incident in the life of the author's grandmother. She knew that humour can be a way to express serious things.
My granny was a person who detested bullies, even if they were her employers. She was that rare kind of woman who valued nothing better than the truth, all of it. During my last visit to her house in Davyton, where nearly every resident knows her all too well, and she has earned her nickname by finishing every sentence with the words, "Eklak, I laugh," Granny recalled her brief period of service as a nanny. She had been asked by her friend Emma to take over her job for a short while. Why? For the first time in 14 years of employment with the Hectors, Emma was going on leave for 2 weeks. Would Gladys be so kind as to substitute for her? My granny Gladys, being the curious type, she had never worked for whites before, jumped at the opportunity. But it was not as she had expected. Gladys found that she was not the only black employee on the Hector's premises. There were three other workers, all black and all men, and all three from Zimbabwe, with little education. To them, Gladys, who had seen very little of the classroom and taught herself English and Afrikaans through contact, sounded like a university graduate. Gladys was shocked the first day to find that one of the men had to polish the floors twice daily. Another had to tend the garden every 4 hours, and the third spent his days painting and repainting the glossy walls. Worse, their meals were servants' meals. Servants' meat, or boys' meat. Servants' bread. Servants' stew, and so forth. Being a disciple of truth, Gladys went into action. Pronto. She felt so humiliated. She felt the pains more than the real victims, the three frightened men. It also happened that that day, Gladys's debut, was a special day for Mrs. Hector. She was going to entertain two overseas visitors, another rich couple from England who intended making South Africa home. Because, my, aren't the taxes back home crippling? And for supper, Mrs. Hector had bought two frozen chickens. For the servants, their usual. You know what, servants' meat. But the advent of Gladys was soon to change all that. Cheeky but honest Gladys. No nonsense, straightforward, eklak Gladys. She took her time cooking and preparing both meals. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, she called the men into the kitchen while the Hectors were away. When they entered the kitchen, Gladys wasted no time in telling them to sit down on the cushioned bar stools. It was an order and sounded almost like a threat. It was the tone in her voice that shook the men. They all sat down. One man, the gardener, vainly objected. One fierce look from Gladys quietened him down immediately. The painter said, "Gladys, you'll get us all into niyaka niyaka trouble. The missus is going to fire us and we'll be sent back home. We never eat together. I eat in the garage. Vambe eat in the garden. And Chimurenge has his meal in the storeroom. You are the only one who's allowed to eat in the kitchen. Please, Gladys, we do not want trouble. Please." Gladys, meanwhile, had already taken 4 plates from the oven. "Look here," she shrieked at them. "I am not asking you a favor. I am not pleading either. We are all going to have a ball right here in the kitchen. Now! And what's more, it's going to be chicken. Now, be quiet before I throw you out." Just when Vambe was about to mouth another plea, Gladys swiftly shut him up with a curt eklak. And in shivering silence, the man joined her at the table and attacked the appetizing chicken. That evening, the Hectors arrived with their important guests. Mealtime, lo and behold. The missus could not believe her heavily made-up eyes when she saw what was for supper. The meat she so detested, servant's meat. "Gladys!" she shouted. "How could you?" And then dashed to the bedroom, weeping like a spoiled child amid bewilderment on the faces of her husband and the guests. Then a grinning Gladys was confronted by the master, right there in front of the guests, who by then had decided not to go ahead with their meal. Gladys, being what she is, gave the master what was coming to him. She didn't mince her words. "What's good for the boys is also good for you. We ate the chicken and left the meat for you. So what's wrong with that?" A clack. Triumphantly, she walked back to the kitchen, where she caught her three brothers eavesdropping. By next morning, the missus still hadn't recovered from the previous night's shock. But instead of being rapped on the knuckles, Gladys got praises from both Mr. and Mrs. W.E. Hector. Surprisingly, they wanted her permanently. They would discharge Emma when she returned from leave. "No," she replied, "it's not my job. Emma is used to dancing to hear funny music. It is a pity I can't dance," said a tearful Mr. Hector.
"You know what, Gladys? You have exposed us so subtly, and quite rightly so. From now onwards, there will be chicken for the boys, the men, every weekend."
Mrs. Hector hugged Gladys and kissed her on both cheeks. And what did she say? A clack.